Call order this Stevensville Town Council meeting Monday, January 22nd, 2017. Roll call. Councilperson Michelson.
Here.
Councilperson Smith.
Here.
Councilperson Holcomb.
Here.
And Councilperson Barker.
Here.
All right, please stand with me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Next item is the approval of the minutes from the January 8th Town Council meeting. Councilperson Holcomb.
I move we approve of the minutes from January 8th Town Council meeting as they're written.
Is there a second? Councilperson Barker.
Second motion.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt the minutes from Monday, January 8th Town Council meeting. Is there any discussion on the minutes? Any public comment on the minutes? Okay. Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilperson Smith.
Yes.
Councilperson Michelson.
Aye.
Councilperson Holcomb.
Aye.
And Councilperson Barker.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. Next item is to approve the biweekly claims. Councilperson Holcomb.
I move we approve of the biweekly claims.
Is there a second? Councilperson Barker.
Second motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the biweekly claims. Is there any discussion?
Oh. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
On page 4 of 10 with Snow Mountain Electric, we have one for $850, $300, $2,000, $214.03, $809.20, and $510.
Steve was busy. Yeah. It was a buildup of, and he sent all of those at once. They were projects that were staggered out. They were all for the fire department.
And then I know we didn't approve Tyrorama last meeting. I know they need to be paid. So we just need to start following. I know it's hard. I think we need to do something about maybe in our purchasing policy that we put something in there that the mayor needs to sign off on it so we have proof that he approved it. Because I really don't want to go back to where every penny needs to come in front of the council to be approved before anything could be spent. So I think something needs to be fixed with that so we have proof that the mayor did approve it.
I explained to the council president, Mr. Michelson, in this specific case, this claim was over a transition period where we changed leadership in the town. Going forward, I review the claims, claim sheets, before they're brought to the council. So you can assume any claim on the sheet I've seen before you've seen it. Does that make sense? So there is an approval process. I've vetted the sheet, and anything I didn't approve, I would address before it was sent to you.
Okay.
Are there any other comments on the claim? Questions from the council? Any public comment? Okay. Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilperson Michelson.
Aye.
Councilperson Smith.
Aye.
Councilperson Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilperson Barker.
Aye.
Claims are approved. Move on to administrative reports. First report tonight is from our new airport manager, Mr. Paul Baggy. Paul, would you come forward with the report?
My name is Paul Baggy. They needed volunteers for the airport manager, myself, and another person, Dan Denton, stepped forward to do this. We are splitting the duties as much as possible. At this point in time, I'm mostly learning on what has to be done. I'm going to look to the council to ask questions of what they need information on, what they need from us, how they'd like us to proceed. So that would be my full report. If there's anything at all that I can answer for you, please ask.
Mr. Michelson.
Wouldn't it be a good time you'd be up there?
Say again.
If you had a time when you'd be up at the airport, I could go up there and walk around and look at some things. It'd be easier up there, you know, than to sit here.
Give me a call.
Okay.
I go up quite often, clean things up. Ovi is serving 15 years. The other person and I and many, many volunteers up there have stepped forward to keep the runway plowed, to maintain the ground, to do weed spraying, to do weed eating, clean the taxiways, cracks, all the weeds that grow up around there. So it's been a joint effort. It's worked out very well. And this is the reason we decided to do it. Somebody's got to do it. It's not too bad. So there's a lot of knowledge. If anybody has any questions on what has to be done or how we do it, please ask. It's not complicated. It's very simple. It just needs to be done.
Are there any questions from the council for Mr. Obagi? Any questions from the public?
I'm devastated. No, we have any questions.
Probably go easy on you first meeting. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next report is a building report, and that's included in the council's packet as well as on the screen. Are there any questions on the building department report? Okay, we'll move on. Fire report, Chief Motley.
Sorry, I was not able to attend the last meeting, but a little tired. Thank you for looking at and considering and passing on the first reading ordinance of 163, the burn permit ordinance. I think that will be a great move forward for the staff in the office and kind of streamline that process a little bit. That going down the right road. I'm sorry you did not get a report in your packet, but during our transition period, things like reports are kind of slow to get out and together, but I'll leave this copy to go in there. Month of December, we had a total of 66 requests for service throughout the month of December, which is kind of typical and normal stuff. We had 25 calls in town, 39 of those requests were within the district. Year-to-date total, last year, 17 grand total of 655 requests for service. We had 32 fire requests. We had 502 EMS requests, and we had 129 others. out of our 502 EMS, 40 of those were motor vehicle accidents. So it's kind of the big picture. Summary overall, there were 342 within the district's boundaries, and 288 were within the town boundaries. And we did do 25 mutual aid requests over last year. So the year totals. At this time, we're starting to ramp up again for recruit class that'll be coming up again spring of the year. We're looking to get a couple of crews through. There'll be four new recruits on two crews. So we'll be putting those through the training program. We get going again, we do that. Any other questions?
Any questions for Chief Motley?
We are moving forward on getting the new ambulance striped and get that into service. And we're still looking forward to receiving engines from Missoula City. So when those pieces all come, we'll be changing and moving and relocating and doing all kinds of things. But right now, out of the woods, kind of quiet.
Thanks, Chief.
All right, thank you.
The judge included her annual court report in the council packet. Are there any questions from the council on the court's report? Okay. Move on to the next item on the agenda is guests. Are there any guests in tonight's audience that would like to be recognized? Okay. Move on to correspondence. A couple of items. First item is a thank you letter from Pantry Partners. It says, thank you, Town of Stevensville. Pantry Partners Food Bank, a 501c3 organization, continues to be blessed with time, funds, and food donations from so many sources in and outside of our beautiful valley. We are an all-volunteer food bank. All of this has kept our goal obtainable to serve those in need in the North Valley, Stevensville, Florence, and Victor, south of Victor Crossing. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. You are the lifeblood of our food bank. We could not do this if it were not for your support. Listed below are some interesting statistics about Pantry Partners. We thought you might like to know just how your contributions have worked for us and our community in the year 2017. Pantry Partners received 217,436,000 pounds of donated and purchased food from the Montana Food Bank Network, churches, schools, businesses, grocers, organizations, personal gardens, and individuals. Approximately 72% of our food was donated directly to the pantry. The other 28% was purchased with donated monies and grants. 190,722 pounds were given to families in need. In the year 2017, Pantry Partners prepared about 2,541 food boxes, averaging about 231 families per month, plus about 103 families per month who came in for bread, milk, and produce, or porch items. In our area, we served 298 families at Christmas. Pantry Partners has at least 35 volunteers who worked an average of 650 hours during each month serving our community. We absolutely could not have accomplished this without your loving concern. Again, thank you, thank you, thank you. Sincerely, the Pantry Partners Board of Directors. And, this was in response to our help to others. Closed closet thank you letter, dated January 5th, 2018. To all the council members and the mayor, your $400 grant to the nonprofits is so appreciated by the Closed Closet, and we want to thank you. As you know, except by grants and donations, we have no income, and so these sources have paid all our expenses for almost 10 years. Thank you so much. Sincerely yours, the Closed Closet staff. An additional piece of correspondence came in last night, or rather yesterday, over the weekend, and we included it in tonight's meeting. To the Town Council of the Town of Stevensville, public comment for Town Council meeting January 22nd, 2018. Honorable Council members and Mayor, I note that on the Town of Stevensville website that a sealed bid auction style sale is being held regarding surplus vehicles. My concerns are as follows. 1. Sale terms and conditions. Item 3. The town accepts cash or certified checks made payable to the town of Stevensville. This does not exclude money orders, traveler's checks, or credit cards. Is it the intent to exclude these alternate forms of payment? 2. Is it the intent of the town to open the sealed bids in secret? Are the bidders invited to view the bid openings? If I were to bid, I certainly think I would want to be present or have public opening or have a public opening of all bids and a reading into an official record. Such action as opening contract bids is required by the Town Municipal Code, Section 2-401. I realize this is in relation to contracts, but a similar action might be warranted regarding the opening of this sort of sealed bid, as other entities offer public viewing of the opening of sealed bids. If it is the intent of the town of open sealed bids in secret, then I would suggest this is not a transparent process for the public. 3, the charge of $50 per day storage for vehicles not being picked up by 5 p.m. on 2/2/18 is outrageous. Right now, at least two of the vehicles in question are sitting on town public parking across the street from town hall where anyone is able to park freely. Is it your intent to charge the public for using what is rightfully theirs to use? Secondly, if the town cannot contact the bid winner for several days after the bid opening, what if the town cannot contact the bid winner for several days after the bid opening? Because it may be difficult for some people to access their funds, one day notice of winning may not be appropriate. I believe that you should allow at least 5 business days after notification of winning a bid for the bid winner to pay and completed pickup of the vehicle. After all, the winner of the bid must acquire their funds, make arrangements to pay and pick up their vehicle, and obtain the insurance necessary to drive the vehicle if required. Additionally, the buyer must acquire either permanent registration on the vehicle or obtain a temporary plate to drive the vehicle on the road. Why was this process ever discussed or approved by the town council, and was the process reviewed and approved by the town's attorney? With all due respect, Jim Cruz. Okay, that concludes correspondence tonight. Move on to public comment. Is there any public comment tonight from the audience on anything on tonight's agenda or anything under the jurisdiction of the town of Stevensville? Okay. Move on to new business. There's no unfinished business tonight. New business item A, discussion decision on resolution number 422, a resolution establishing a graffiti and prevention removal policy for the town of Stevensville, Montana. This is in response to some citizens' concerns about graffiti at the park. The town of Stevensville does not have a policy or any sort of procedure, protocol, otherwise, to address graffiti anywhere in town, whether it be at the park or anywhere else. And so this is a response to that, as I had promised at the last meeting I'd bring forward some sort of legislation for you to consider. Is there a motion on the floor? Councilperson Holcomb.
I move we approve resolution number 422, a resolution establishing a graffiti prevention and removal policy for the town of Stevensville, Montana.
Is there a second? Okay, Councilperson Barker?
Second motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adopt resolution number 422, a resolution establishing a graffiti and prevention removal policy for the town of Stevensville, Montana. Is there any discussion from the council? Councilperson Holcomb.
As I always ask, was this approved by our attorney?
He has received it.
So we have not gotten approval?
I don't think it's a priority of his. At the time, he's got a number of different projects on his plate. Okay. That he's trying to address, but the clerk and I both reviewed this and compared it to any existing codes we have and could not find any conflicts.
And did we put this with MMIA as well?
I'm not sure why we would run it through MMIA. Okay. Mr. Michelson.
I would think that if we did approve this, we should probably run it through them just to be on the safe end as far as liability issues.
Sure. Okay.
That would be okay with you, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, I can send it on to them.
Okay.
Is there any other question from the council on the resolution? Is there any public comment? Mr. Motley.
Can you apply in a timely manner?
No, okay. We can't. It is on purpose. We considered a policy that would, you know, be more of a 24-hour kind of deal. But given the weekends and that sort of thing, it's a little more difficult to handle. So we're meaning the intent of timely is to say that as soon as we notice it, we'll address it. Is there any other public comment? Okay. Proceed to vote. Councilperson Michelson.
Aye.
Councilperson Smith.
Aye.
Councilperson Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilperson Barker.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Next item under new business is a discussion item, installation of security cameras at Lewis and Clark Park due to repeated vandalism. This is presented by a couple of our high school students from Stevensville High School. Shaylin?
Yeah.
And Ryan, right?
Yep.
Hi, I'm Shaylin Harris. This is Ryan Lubinsky. We would like to talk about putting cameras in the park. For security and vandalism. I have pictures, want to go hand those out. This isn't all of the vandalism. My computer kind of pooped on me, so.
Sorry.
I have put on it, whether it's current or in the recent times, that it has been vandalized. We have looked at a few cameras that could be arranged to be put in. I've heard a lot of people asking, could we put in game cameras and whatnot, and that's definitely up to you guys whether we do or not. But we have looked at prices from cameras to $100 to $300, which goes down into fundraising. We would like to put on bake sales first Friday and fundraise that way, and we've talked to people about asking you guys if we could do a half and half. We fundraise whatever we get, and you guys would bring in whatever we don't have or bring in what we fundraised. So, to that. Sorry, I'm not very good at this. We have got a vandalism tag remover in mind that Mr. Dewey here brought up to us that we would like to also fundraise for and maybe put aside a fund for specifically vandalism for the park. Do you guys have any questions for us?
Any questions for Ms. Harris? Mr. Smith, go ahead.
Not really a question per se, but that's kind of where I don't see you needing to fundraise for it. This is something the community needs itself. We fundraised for $500,000 already. It's time for the community to step up, and there are funds available. There is the beautification fund now. Some may argue that beautification doesn't include security, but I think it does because it will enhance the beautification in the long run. Okay. So I appreciate you willing to do that, but I would say that it should be the responsibility of the community to Absolutely. Take that task on, because to be honest with you, I've looked at camera systems. What we're looking at is in excess of probably $6,000-$7,000 wireless system. You go anywhere from 4 to 12 cameras. It's IR, you know, meaning it works at night. It's weatherproof all the way down to below minus 30. So those are all the things we have to think of as a community also with regards to that system. So there are some things that have to be discussed.
All right. Yeah, we definitely took the cost into concern. Like I said, even if we don't need to, we would love to put a fund together from fundraising that could help the town with the vandalism and putting security cameras into the park and being able to help with that fund.
Any further questions from the council?
I don't have a question, but I am an agree that we do need something down there. I've been fighting this for the past few terms I have been on this council, that we need cameras and we need to replace the fencing so we can figure out how to lock it, and possibly motion lights, because I think if lights are going off, it's going to... I don't think they're going to want to stand there and vandalize if lights are starting to shine on them. I think it's something that we need to come together and try to figure out how to make it happen.
We would absolutely love to put more lights in the park as well. We've talked about it, and it would help with cameras if we can't get the ones that have the night vision, which there again, we would love to help fundraise for that as well. So.
Does the council have a sense of the direction they'd like to go as far as if they'd like this to be deferred to the park board or a special committee of some kind? Ms. Holden.
I do think it needs to go in front of the park board.
Okay. We can facilitate that. Absolutely. Mr. Michaels.
I see on here that we have some money from a grant.
We have, it's approximately, I think, $1,500 from Northwestern Energy. We've had that, we don't physically have the money. Main Street Association has the money. They applied for the grant on our behalf. And they've been holding it, waiting for the town to respond with, how are we going to use the funds?
Can I?
Sure.
It's a grant from Northwest Energy that they applied for. It's for lighting.
Right. It was the sole purpose of that was security lighting at Lewis and Clark Park, mm-hmm. or in our parks. I'm not sure it specified which park, but it was park lighting. Ms. Barker.
I feel that it's something that we need to first start with the lighting. I understand that the graffiti and that, but lighting is the number one that we have said for years that needs to be done. Find out again, bring Northwestern Energy out again, because obviously when Ed was here, you know, they were here, they looked at stuff, and then it was kind of dropped. And then if there's the extra money left over from that particular, from the lighting, put that towards your cameras.
Sure. Okay. Mr. Michelson?
Yeah, I would like to agree with Councilmember Barker. It's time. We brought this up numerous council meetings since I've been on it. And the people are here now, so it's last month's public comments. Kathy back there, she brought it up, and we should be pretty aggressive on it myself. We got a grant. I did talk to Lorraine Roach about it. She just said all we need is the council's approval and she'll release it. And I think that if we got a some bids in or something, or some research going, run it through the park board, come back to the council, and I think we should have a resolution and a budget amendment from the Dean Thomas Fund upon approval of the council to release those funds. No?
That's not the Dean Thomas Fund, that's something entirely different.
Gene Thomas? The Northwestern grant is not part of the Gene Thomas.
No, I know that.
Okay, so you're saying you're proposing using some of the Gene Thomas funding.
Correct.
Towards this cause.
Correct.
Okay.
I'm in agreement with Major Councilmember Smith that how can you have a safe park if you can't keep it lit, you can't keep it protected? I would think that, I don't think Gene would have a problem with that. I think she would approve of this. I'm not saying we have to have the classiest of lights, but just something that's steady, not real on the cheap either, you know, effective, that would work. And instead of do an amendment, do a resolution, get it done and get going. Thank you.
Are we through with the students here? Mm-hmm. You guys can return to your seats. Thank you very much. I don't mean to have you just stand there. Mr. Smith.
This is a question for you, Mr. Mayor. Do we have a functioning park board at this point?
That's yet to be seen. We have a park board that needs a chairman and a couple of more seats to be filled. We're gathering applications for those remaining two positions. And so if not the next council meeting, I'm certain at the next council meeting, you'll see a couple of appointments. And then I'll work on facilitating a chairman for that meeting and getting that established, because they don't right now they don't have a chairman, so we're trying to figure out who would step up for that position to call a meeting. So yes, Bob.
Do you think, Mr. Mayor, if you had some time within the next month before the next council meeting, that you could maybe start up do some phone calls and get some bids?
I think so. I've already initiated, as I reported at the last meeting, I had initiated contact with the electrician who primarily provides service to the town, and we were looking at using some of our existing lights down at the park and seeing if those would be usable. I did have an opportunity to go down there with him, and he agreed that there are three lights down there that exist that we could retrofit and turn on so that they serve the needs of security, so that not the entire field is lit, but the portions of the park where we're having our primary issues would be lit. At that time when I met with him, I didn't express any haste in him getting back to me as to when he could do that work and what that would cost. But now that I know it's a priority of the council's to address that, I will contact him this week and see how soon we can make that happen. And if he's not able, he's the most familiar with the system down there since he's done most of the wiring on it. If he's not able to do it, then we'll find another electrician that maybe has time to do it. Ms. Barker.
Another question was the spot that Officer Marble spoke about at the last meeting, saying that there was a hole in the fence area. Is there a way that we can temporarily fix that?
What he was referring to was the gates at the back end of the park that face the field towards the sewer plant.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just standard stock gates. They're not chain link gates like the front gates If you'd like me to, I can investigate the cost of replacing those to chain link. But I think that that's the concern of the chiefs, that if you lock the front gates, then they'll just go around the park and come in the back gates. You know, now.
Well, we need a solution for it, so one way or the other. Mm-hmm.
I think that my opinion is that if we install some lighting down there and make it a little more secure, that vandals will probably stay away from it, meaning they typically draw to darkness. So what we'll see is that they'll move to the next darkest place in town. You know, whether the gates are open or not, if it's lit, they're likely not going to go down there. And they'll just go to the next darkest spot. That's based on our research through other communities. Are we okay to take some public comment? Okay. Ms. Harris.
Yes. Sherry Harris, 375 Bear Cove Lane, Stephen Montana. I was curious on, you know, the officers, can we not make it one of their routine things? I mean, I know if they're busy, they're busy, but when they're not busy, can they not drive through the park and, or get, you know, maybe get some of these off officers that could do it like sporadically, two, three nights a week, just go down and make a loop at 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, make sure everybody's out of the park?
Sure. It's my understanding that is part of their routine when time allows for them to do that. I know that Officer Jessup goes down as often as she can when it's dark. And Chief Marble, while he's on during the day, tries to at least get down there once a day. They're aware of the increased activity up in the park, and they're trying to address that the best they can with the staff they have.
Okay. Because I know we were down there at 11 o'clock, and she never got out of the car. There were kids skating.
There's an officer safety concern about having a police officer out in pitch black darkness. That's kind of the lighting issue, is where if we get some lighting down there, then they may be a little more comfortable to get out of their car and explore the darkness. You know, we want to keep them safe as well. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Michelson.
One last question as far as the lighting.
Sure.
Would Northwestern Energy be doing the pole work? Or would that come up to people that put up the lights as part of the bid?
Right. So the retrofit that I'm referring to, the immediate change, that would all be done in-house ourselves. The lights are already mounted and on the poles. It's just a matter of wiring them so that only a portion of them come on. If we want additional lighting down there, then that may be something we need to consider with Northwestern Energy.
Do you have an idea on the placement of these lights?
The new ones the new ones? I don't know. That'd be something that maybe the park master plan would include. So we haven't gotten that far. We're just trying to get a couple of lights functioning down there. Is there any other public comment?
Share some concerns about the park.
Sorry, can you say your last name?
CAPOVANI. Yeah. I appreciate you guys, first and foremost, bringing this issue up. I've been a member of the community for a long time and have seen my kids grow up in the park, and with all the increasing vandalism, etc., it has really deterred me from letting my kids even going down there. So I agree with the lighting. I wanted to ask about specifically in regard to the lighting, which you had mentioned briefly. Will there be lights in the playground area as well? Because a friend of mine, and I have to share this, she's not here because she's home tending to her sick family right now, but I guess they have a tummy bug. She stumbled upon, she goes down there often with her young children. One is 5 and the other is 7. And they were in the playground area, and she stumbled upon 3 babies the size of button holder babies. and one clearly said Molly on it. Now that's ecstasy. Those babies, fortunately, were empty. But had one of those babies had something in it, and a young child, it just the thought makes my stomach turn. So I think there should be some consideration for something for the playground area as well. Because, I mean, we've got so many... We just need to protect our kiddos. You know, whether it be lighting, police officers, new fencing, something. So I appreciate the conversation being started. But I think it's very, especially at this time, with all the dangers that are being brought into this community, it needs to be addressed. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any further public comment? Ms. Mott.
Just a clarification, the park board has discussed security and lighting. We were in the process of doing a master plan for all the parks in Stevensville before starting to allocate money for the parks, and that was on the park board's master plan.
Sure.
We just hadn't gotten to the point as to how or any of that yet. So,
just to clarify, there are two kind of separate lighting issues. One of those is the immediate lighting issue that I'll work on with our electrician. The other is more of a long range lighting issue that we'll try to work on in the coming year with the upcoming budget and with the park board and their master plan, determining on if we can get lighting established in the playground area and other darker areas of the park where the infrastructure is lacking. Okay. All right. If there's nothing else, we'll move on to the next agenda item. Ms. Cook, I'm sorry. Sure.
Kathy Cook, 435 Whitehead Way. I appreciate your attention again, even though I was just here 2 weeks ago, but I have to stand up after this. This is just going the wrong way again. I'm the president of Stevensville Youth Soccer and have been for 7 years. Every fall, our program uses Lewis and Clark Park and Fall River Valley Park for our games and practices. We pay a fee to use these fields, $2.50 for each player that play at these parks, and that usually adds up to 150 to 170 kids. There are no longer working bathroom facilities, just porta potties. We provide our own porta potty at Fall River Valley Park, and this past season we didn't even have garbage cans at either parks. But we're thankful that we have a place to play. But having our equipment at the park during the season has come at a price for our association. We have had to replace cut and damaged nets, repair goals that have been flipped or moved, and now we have to replace rebar stakes because they keep getting stolen, and those keep our goals in place. For the past 4 to 5 years, I have come before this council to ask that something be done to make Lewis and Clark Park a more secure area, not only for our program, but for all the children and our community that uses it. Each time I've suggested the installation of security cameras. Not only is this a way to observe, but it is a deterrent to help stop the destruction of the property in the park. One mayor felt that cameras were an invasion of privacy. What about the invasion and destruction of our equipment and our park? Lighting again is being discussed. This will help, but it is not the answer. Having lights on full time can be a disturbance to the neighboring properties. And again, it doesn't show who is in the park when they're not supposed to be. The time has come to stop talking about it and time to do something about it. There are two areas, the skate park and the playground, that through a lot of hard work and by groups of people and many donations of time and money are being damaged and vandalized. You have the hard work of a young woman here that just wanted to make the park that she spends time in to look more appealing. She accomplished this by working in the heat of the summer and helped clean up the building and the park. What was her reward? 6 months later, it was vandalized. Has the culprit's been caught? No, because there are no witnesses and there is no proof. Recently, a vandal was caught for damaging the skate park earlier this year, and I understand. His punishment was lenient, which does not help deter any further vandalism. As I mentioned 2 weeks ago, I recently installed security cameras at my place of business for about $1,000. We have infrared coverage of approximately the same size as Lewis and Clark Park. We have a locked gate with signs on it announcing that there's 24-hour surveillance. In just a short time, things have quieted down. We've had fewer issues, and we feel secure that our property will be okay until we return. We have a growing population in our town, but yet our police force stays the same size. Why not give Chief Marble and his officers one more tool to keep our town safe? I have witnessed drug deals in the parking lot in broad daylight, drug usage in the skate park and the picnic area, and I have come upon individuals messing with our soccer equipment. It's been the same issues for a number of years. Let's stop sweeping this under the rug. Let's have a safe place for young families to bring their kids to the park, a safe place for our teens to come and get some exercise and have activities to do. Let's make our community gatherings like Creamery Picnic continue to be successful because they know their belongings will be protected and watched over. The town's businesses should also be supportive of this idea of a safer park. If you bring people to your park, they will then visit your restaurants, your gas stations, and your stores. It's time for action, not time for talk. Our town park needs security cameras to provide a safe place for kids to play and protect the investments and hard work of our community members. Thank you again for your ears.
Thank you. Is there any further public comment?
I guess I have just one more. If I am Schmitz, I'm at 667 Tree Schultz.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Schmitz, S-C-H-M-I-T-Z. One of the things I want us to think about is we're talking about the cost of the security cameras, and I'm with Kathy. You know, the lighting is nice, but who's doing the vandalism? Who do we hold responsible? And who do we charge for this town removing? Now we have a removal system, but who's going to pay for the removal of it? These people that are doing it should be responsible for helping the town to remove that, but we don't know who's doing it to hold them accountable to helping us remove it. And so I would ask the council to take into consideration the money that our community has spent on this. I'm just gonna throw some figures out, and anybody can correct me because I'm not positive, I haven't checked these figures, but I think we spent close to $500,000 on the skate park part of our park. And I know that our church community and lots of other community members spent lots of volunteer hours on the playground part of our Lewis and Clark Park. And how sad it is that we're going to talk about, we've got probably $1 million worth of equipment in the park, and we're going to worry that we're fixing to spend $1,500 to keep that investment safe. Isn't it more, I ask the council to think about the fact that it's going to cost our town more to repair the things that these vandals are not going to quit doing, but it's going to continue to get worse. Now it's the graffiti, and what's going to happen when they take the next step and start destroying our property, and then the town has to fix it in order to keep the kids safe that are going there, or remove it, and then our kids aren't staying here. I will tell you that in the summertime, we don't even come to Stevensville Park anymore because my kids don't feel safe here. We go to the Hamilton. We go out to Hamilton and go to the park. My kids would love to come here. They don't feel safe coming to this park for various different reasons. When we go to Hamilton, there's a police officer every time without exception. There's a police officer that shows up at that park. I have been there when there are children there that are doing stuff they shouldn't be doing. And within the second that police officer shows up, those kids are in their car and they're out of there. They are not going to hang around if they know they're being held accountable. And if we have cameras and they know they're being watched, I think that they're going to think twice about what they're doing in our parks.
Ms. Harris, you have one last comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask if we are going to make the handicap bathroom in the...
If you stick around for the executive report, you'll get an answer.
Okay,
thank you. Sound good? All right. We'll move on. Next item under new business is item C, discuss and decision, the consent to the mayor's appointment of Jerry Phillips to the Planning and Zoning Board. Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we consent to the mayor's appointment of Jerry Phillips to the Planning and Zoning Board.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
Second the motion.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to consent to the mayor's appointment of Jerry Phillips to the Planning and Zoning Board. Is there any discussion from the council? Easy to please. All right. Oh, we'll move on to a vote. Councilperson Michelson.
Aye.
Councilperson Smith.
Aye.
Councilperson Holcomb.
Aye.
And Councilperson Barker.
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes. We'll move on to the executive report. Sherry, this is the part you want to pay attention for.
Yes, sir.
I'll leave it to the end, though. I'm sorry. The finance officer has begun preparing the budget amendment to account for unanticipated revenue and unforeseen expenditures. So what I need to know from the council is, are we okay with April and myself proceeding with budget amendment and bringing it to a public hearing? Or would you like to schedule a COW meeting in the immediate future to go through that budget amendment yourselves and provide input? I'll welcome your input individually either way, but it's your choice if you'd like to schedule that. Ms. Holcomb.
I would like to schedule a COW meeting.
Okay. So council consent, I mean, Mr. Michelson?
Second.
Okay. Stacey, are we okay to just pick a date tonight?
Yeah, so typically the COW meetings are the third Monday of the month, so.
We passed that.
So we would be looking at February. February 20th or 19th is a holiday. But, so that being said, you can.
Can we pick any Monday? Other than a council meeting?
Well, right. So council rules, you have to suspend council rules and have the COW meeting outside of that date due to the holiday. So you can have it on the 5th. That gives a little over a week. Would you, April, we prepare by the 5th?
I'm ready now.
Okay.
The 5th work for everybody?
Yeah. So I need a motion from the council to suspend council rules so that we can schedule a COW meeting on the 5th of February.
I don't think we can do that.
Mm-mm, because it's not on the agenda. Mm-hmm. Never mind.
I think we can just say we're looking for a COW meeting and we'll...
Can we schedule it, though?
Yeah. Yeah. So what I'll do is I'll notice it.
Okay. We'll notice a COW meeting for the 5th of February.
Okay.
And so then April and I will bring forward that budget amendment. We'll try to get everything in that we have in Dropbox for you. Okay?
Thank you.
You bet. We have begun the process of disposing of equipment that you declared surplus this month earlier. We utilize the same procedures as the last surplus sale we had, which was a number of years ago. However, this time we'll hold a garage sale type event on Saturday, the 27th, this coming Saturday, from 10 to 2. And that's in order to dispose of some miscellaneous office and other stuff we have, copy machines and scanners and that sort of stuff we didn't necessarily want to advertise. Like we did the vehicles. The finance officer and I acknowledge the oversight in not advertising the bid openings for the vehicles. That was just something that got lost in the notice. So to correct that, we've scheduled bid openings for 9 a.m. on February 1st here at Town Hall. We have contact information for everyone who has submitted a bid so far, and we'll contact them tomorrow and let them know that that's what we've decided to do. So that should address the question as to whether or not they'll be open to public. In regards to the general services clerk, we received 9 applications and we're proceeding with interviews on 7 of those 9 applications. The interview committee will be comprised of Chief Motley, April, and myself, and we hope to have a final candidate by the end of the week or first thing next week. I've met with our public works director, George Thomas, in regards to the bathrooms at the park. You will likely see the bathrooms included in the budget amendment because for some reason they were not included in the capital fund budget this fiscal year for whatever reason. I've discussed it with George. What we're doing is we're moving forward on, we will make the two bathrooms on either end of the facility, the bathroom vault down there, they will both be unisex handicapped accessible bathrooms. So we will have two handicapped facility bathrooms down there, complete with hot water, no less. So we're really getting into Ritzville here with hot water, guys. So as soon as the weather improves and we're able to do some work down there, we'll get those painted up, get the fixtures installed, and this spring we'll have running water and bathrooms at the Lewis and Clark Park. So that's on the public works plan. It's something George is eager to wrap up and have done with, and so we're moving forward on that. Any questions for me from the council? Mr. Michelson.
Yeah, I have one question regarding the resolution 420, the vehicle disposal and all the items.
Yes.
You addressed them all. I guess I don't see the 1993 pumper truck on there. Why is that?
We wanted to advertise that one separately so that we could market it to outlying fire departments in the state. And we thought that it would probably get lost in the shuffle if we sold with the rest of the vehicles. And so we'll hold off on that one as soon as we receive. We didn't want to sell it before we had something to replace it. And we're waiting for delivery of the engines from Missoula before we sell that one.
And the two that Jeff?
Correct. The two that Jeff referred to earlier. We kind of want to have those in service before we sell our first new fire truck.
Okay.
Just so we can still put fires out. So that'll be coming forward for advertisement very soon. Okay.
Sounds good.
Did you have a question?
No, I had more of a statement in regards to the bathroom needing painting. I remember last year sandblasting it and painting it and all of that, so just wondering why we need to paint it again.
Inside. It was never painted inside.
I just sandblasted it, and we had the paint available, and we were told that it was going to be taken care of.
And we're still taking care of it.
Yeah,
as long as we have the paint. I mean, George recalls having the paint. It just never got painted. So, but thank you for sandblasting it, right? Okay, we'll move on to town council comments. Any comments from the council? Mr. Smith.
I think we do need to approach the security camera issue prior to trying to get the board together. I think the mayor himself might be able to get at least some baseline data for giving to the park board when they do establish the quorum and the new individuals. That way they can hit the ground running with that to where we're not offset by another 2 or 3 months, which puts us into summertime, which puts us into all of these other issues. I think even if council or mayor gives myself approval, I will gather up some data, because these were all issues that is when I was a chairperson we were working on also, and there is data existing for this.
Okay. Any further comment from the council? Okay, board reports. Ms. Hope.
Well, we finally had our first TED meeting, except we didn't have anybody from the airport there, so we really couldn't make any decisions. So he already left. We're looking at doing another meeting in February in hopes that Paul and Dan could be there at the meeting so we could go over everything.
Mr. Smith.
I didn't attend the board meeting, but I did go up this Saturday and meet all of the board members and pilots and various volunteers up there. They're really excited to have us up there. They're looking at some projects and such, and so I will attend the next board meeting and have further for you.
Okay. Any other board reports? Mr. Michelson.
Are we still a man down or a person down as far as park board? I'm planning and zoning.
Planning and zoning, yes. We need one more person from within the town limits to serve on that board. Any takers? Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn? Ms. Holcomb.
I move we adjourn.
Is there a second? Anybody? Mr. Michelson? Okay, please adjourn. Thank you very much.